Well, when that assembly meets, they do clear Jefferson and vote him thanks. But Jefferson is bitter, and he's disappointed at the way in which blame has been cast upon him. He writes to James Monroe, "I considered that I had been 13 years engaged in public service, that during that time I had so totally abandoned all attention to my private affairs as to permit them to run into great disorder and ruin, that by a constant sacrifice of time, labor, loss, parental and family duties, I had been so far from gaining the affection of my countrymen, which was the only reward I ever asked or could have, that I have even lost the small estimation I before possessed. I stood arraigned for treason of the heart and not merely weakness of the head, and I felt that those injuries, for such they have been since acknowledged, and had inflicted a wound on my spirit, which will only be cured by the all-healing grave." Jefferson retires for one of what will be three retirements. But at this moment, he expects never to return to politics. He's bitter and disappointed. Well, bad news followed Jefferson at that time. Not long after writing that letter, his wife became grievously ill. He nurses her for over 4 months before she finally dies on 11:45 a.m., September 6th, 1782. His daughter recalls that, as a nurse, no female ever had more tenderness or anxiety. He nursed my poor mother in turn with Aunt Carr and her own sister, sitting with her and administering her medicines and drink to the last. Well, we have a remarkable scene from this nursing period, where as his wife is dying, she takes a piece of paper and begins to write a wonderful passage from their favorite author, Laurence Sterne. "Time wastes too fast. Every letter I trace tells me with what rapidity life follows my pen. The days and hours of it are flying over our heads, like clouds on a windy day, never to return. More everything presses on." And that's where her writing breaks off. Apparently she's too weak to continue writing. Jefferson takes the pen and finishes the passage. "And every time I kiss thy hand to bid adieu, every absence which follows it, are preludes to that eternal separation which we are shortly to make." And this reveals that Jefferson was, in fact, behind that mask of stoic manners, a deeply romantic, emotional, and passionate lover. Jefferson took that piece of paper and he put it away for safekeeping, later adding to it a lock of his dead wife's hair. And he would keep that with him every day for the rest of his life. His daughter tries to describe what Jefferson was like after his wife had died. "The scene that followed, I did not witness, but the violence of his emotion, of his grief. When almost by stealth I entered his room at night, to this day I dare not trust myself to describe. He kept his room for 3 weeks, and I was never a moment from his side. He walked almost incessantly, night and day, only lying down occasionally when nature was completely exhausted on a pallet that had been brought in during his long fainting fit. My aunts remained constantly with him for some weeks, I do not remember how many. When at last he left his room, he rode out. And from that time, he was incessantly on horseback, rambling about the mountains, in the least frequented roads, and just as often through the woods. In those melancholy rambles, I was his constant companion, a solitary witness to many a violent burst of grief." Jefferson is at the low point of his life. His public career has been discredited. His private life has been destroyed, the one great love of his life taken from him. His slaves recall, or claim at least, that on her deathbed, he promised never to remarry. If so, it's a promise Jefferson kept. Despite what we'll see were his other loves, his wife always held a central place in his life and in his experience. What we're going to do in our next lecture is look at how Jefferson emerges from these moments of despair, particularly his governorship, because what had distracted him from fighting this great struggle against the British was drafting one of the most remarkable elegant and important documents in early American letters, the Notes on the State of Virginia. And it's to that remarkable document that we turn in our following lecture.